I think that's under the category of just unexpected surprises.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Health in the 34th. We are on our third episode. I'm really excited for this episode. What about you, Lacey?
Yeah. So usually we record this in a recording studio, but we are doing it remote this time because we have more people than the studio would fit to record today. So we are excited. We hope everybody has had a good couple of weeks since we were with you last episode. Today we are introducing you to the rest of our team, and so we're really excited about that.
This is Marissa with the Alliance for Healthy Kansas. I am the advocacy and policy specialist.
And I'm April Holman. I'm the executive director of the Alliance.
And I'm Lacey Kennett. I'm the director of communications with the Alliance, and we are so glad to be here with you. So we have two new staff members, and we wanted everybody to get to meet them during this episode. So Miss Sarah, do you want to go first?
Yeah, I can. Hi, everyone. My name is Miss Sarah Al-Sharaya. I am the new community organizer. So you will probably see my face at various events around the state. And I'm really excited to meet you all. It is my second week here, and I'm loving it so far.
And Chandra, what about you? Been here a while, but you want to introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is Chandra Dixon. I am the story bank specialist for the Alliance. I have been with the Alliance since March.
And we are so glad to have both of you. Welcome to Health in the 34th.
Excited to be here today.
Thank you. I always wanted to be a podcast girly. And so this is exactly, you know, my dreams come true.
So this episode, in addition to introducing you to Miss Sarah and Chandra, we wanted to tell you all about an event that we did last week that was very exciting.
So every year, the Alliance brings together some of our storytellers, both storytellers who have been featured on our website or storytellers who will be featured on our website. And we bring them together in an effort to help them really feel comfortable sharing their story with larger groups of people. So yeah, so we did that training last week. We had three storytellers come in person. There were lots of bumps, but we did it. Yay!
Lots of bumps being an understatement. Let's talk about the event.
Yeah, I think that we should talk about what the bumps were. So this is Chandra's first year of organizing this event. She did a fantastic job of getting all of the various parts in place. And then the morning of the event, she got a call from the Wichita Library, probably an event planner's biggest nightmare. Chandra, do you want to tell the people what happened? Yes.
So our training was to start at 10 a.m. and it was going to be at the Advanced Learning Library in Wichita. This is a beautiful library and it has a beautiful conference space and it's very affordable. So it was checking all the boxes. So I book it like 6 weeks in advance. I'm in the hotel lobby waiting for some of our storytellers to make sure everybody knows where they need to go. And I get a call on my cell phone from just a library employee saying there's no power. They have no electricity at the library. And our speakers who were coming in were not at the hotel with us. So then we had to frantically like call them to let them know not to go to the library while also trying to find a different space to hold this event that was starting in 30 minutes. It was chaos.
All standing in the lobby ready to go when the call comes, basically.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Like we all had breakfast, everybody was checking out, and then it was like, hold up, we're not going there. We don't know where we're going.
So how did we, so we ended up at the KMUW studio. Shout out to them.
That was not my magic. That was Masera's magic.
Well, I can
made a phone call and made things happen.
I give all credit to Sarah Jane Crespo, the events and engagement manager at the Kansas Health Foundation. Truly, she's a lifesaver. So what ended up happening is that once Chandra told me that the library had no power, I ended up just calling Sarah Jane over at KHF and was like, hey, do you happen to have any rooms available? And At that time, the KHF and the Kansas Leadership Center had a really large event going on, so all the rooms were booked. But luckily, Sarah Jane, she has contacts at KMUW and was able to call them, and I called them as well, and they were able to get us into a conference room within probably about 30 minutes of us calling them. So they were also a major lifesaver as well. Got inside, it was just a very beautiful place, and everyone was so nice, so welcoming, and Chandra did such a great job managing throughout this entire crisis. April did a great job grabbing us some food for lunch, and so overall, it turned out great. One of the worst things that can happen to an event planner is there being no venue. Yes. Even worse when there's no venue for all these out-of-town people to come into.
And I want to just give a little shout out to Lacey, who spent a lot of time on the phone trying to reach our reporter because she was on site at the library doing a story about the fact that the library didn't have power. And so Lacey struggled to get a hold of her to tell her where we actually were going.
Yeah, that was Pilar Pedraza from Gig News in Wichita, who came to talk to our storytellers about talking with the media and what to expect and giving advice and things like that. She was amazing. But yeah, she was in the parking lot. I think she told us while she was talking to us that the footage that she took on her phone and had already been on like the 11 o'clock news or something. So the life of a TV reporter moves fast. So, Chandra, you want to give our listeners, like, what did we talk about? What did the event look like for the storytellers?
So part of what we do at this training is help them take what has been written about them, which is often by me or before Marissa, when Marissa was in this position, and find a way to use that story verbally. So this year we were concentrating on that, which is why Pilar came in, to kind of help our storytellers feel comfortable speaking with the media. She did a fabulous job. She brought a TV camera with her so like they could see what they look like. She explained the difference between like B-rolls, which I had no idea what that was. And then we were supposed to have a legislator. That was the first curveball. Our legislator did have to cancel on us. Thankfully, we had someone else be able to step in who had served in the legislation, explain to our storytellers how to interact with lawmakers to make effective change and to help them just feel relaxed if they're ever asked to do that or they decide to do that kind of storytelling on their own. So they just have the skills they need when they need them. Public speaking is hard. Being on television is strange. If you've never done it before, it can be just odd and people sometimes just don't know what to expect. So we try to make them very comfortable so they know what to expect if they ever happen to find themselves in that situation. And it also gives them a time to share their stories with other people who maybe understand what they are going through on a whole different level.
Yeah, I really liked when Pilar was talking about, I felt like she did a really good job of encouraging them to take the power that is their story, acknowledging that when you're talking about something so personal like that, that it can be a natural thing to not want to embrace emotion. You want to be a matter of fact and all those things, but really emotion and the realness is what makes it compelling. So I thought she did a great job of just empowering the storytellers to really harness that power that they have.
I think that, you know, one of the things that I appreciated, even though we didn't have a legislator there, we did talk about the importance of being able to share your story with elected officials. And I think that having a former legislator there was really helpful because he had the experience of what it was like, what it felt like for him to have constituents come and talk to him and share their stories. And I think he really underscored the importance of like being specific. Obviously, it's your information to share, so feel free filtering out the things that you want to share and the parts that you don't want to share, But just knowing that the more personal you can be, the more compelling what you're telling those elected officials will be to them. You know, it was a little bit like the same situation as talking to reporters. The more people know, the better they understand the situation and the need for change, which is so important when we talk particularly about Medicaid expansion. There have been so many things that have come into this issue that really have nothing to do with the actual policy of Medicaid expansion and what it will need to consumers who are in the coverage gap. So I really appreciated having that validated by a former legislator as well.
One thing I really enjoy about my position too is giving a voice to people who feel powerless or overwhelmed or just alone. And this is coming from a place that I too am a storyteller. This is how I started in this position. And I know when I shared my story for the first time, before I even shared it with the Alliance, when I was just sharing with friends, like I felt more power, less alone. I was giving truth to my presence and what was happening. And so I think in that storytelling, like that also allows you, when you have that power to stand in your truth and what you're going through, helps you to also want to then go share your story with a broader amount of people and feel more confident, hopefully, than speaking to legislators and media. I know before I shared my story with the Alliance, I really felt like no one heard me. And my story is also on the website, so I'll just give like a small synopsis of it. So my mother died in 2016 of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. She was not able to access medical care soon enough to start chemo. By the time we had jumped through all these red hoops and tape and all the things, it was at a point where the cancer had spread that her kidneys had started to fail. And I felt very alone in that. Not only was I grieving for my mother, I'm an only child. My father died when I was 12. I have no extended family. But also I'm just carrying that burden of knowing, had she had access to Medicaid in 2016, she might have had a chance to actually battle and fight against that cancer. And that feeling of powerlessness really sat on my heart for a long time until I shared my story with Marissa. And then I felt like, okay, now someone finally heard me. Someone finally heard what my mother was struggling with and what I struggled with. And that's kind of what has brought me into this position, is now I want to be able to share that gift of finding power in their voice with other storytellers.
I think that's important, because the reason that we are doing this work is really at its heart to empower people. And I think that sometimes there are misunderstandings about that. So I'm glad that you pointed that out, Chandra. It is first and foremost a project that is intended to do good, for the people who are able to find their voice, to do good for the people who are just trying to understand what expansion is. And that should always stay at the heart of our mission with the storytelling work.
Yeah, it's something that I've noticed over the years of being here, is that there are so many similarities between storytellers and the gap, but it is a very isolating and lonely feeling, and sometimes stigmatizing. There's really a stigma that parts of society and the world have if you live without health insurance. And so I'm glad that we can bring the storytellers together and kind of form a community for them, so they know that while everybody's story is unique and often absolutely heartbreaking, that they're not alone and their voices individually have power, but also together they have power.
With that being said, if there's anything that you would like to see happen within your community, please reach out to us and we can get our team out there. We can host an event. We can host a time for you to share your story. We are here to help you and support you.
Chandra, do you want to give us kind of an overview? So the three storytellers that we had, you can find all of their stories on our website in case anybody's interested, or if you hear something and you relate to it and wanted to check out more.
Yeah, of course. So this year we had three storytellers who were able to join us. I think what was interesting to me this year about the storytellers that we brought in is that two of them were quite young. And by young, I mean younger than me, working age adults. Kelsey has a mild form of cerebral palsy, and she is a grant writer, and she's young, and she has this chronic health condition and doesn't have health insurance, and it impacts her life and her work. She has expressed to me many times that she often doesn't do social activities with her friends because if something were to happen to her while she was out, she worries about medical debt. And then our other younger storyteller who joined us was named Steven, who until a year ago was waiting tables, was a young father, had some mental health issues, and just wasn't able to access mental health help that would not only improve his life, but also his children's life. He would be able to be a more present and loving father. And that's like two sides of that spectrum. There we have one storyteller who's young, who has some physical disabilities and health issues that kind of hold her back from the workforce and from a full active life. And then we have another younger man who is starting out a family, who is just trying to do the best he can, who suffers from depression. And a lot of us suffer from depression. There should be no shame in that. But sometimes we need extra help to talk out what's bothering us, medication help. And there's no shame in that. But if you can't get access to mental health, then it affects your whole life. And then our other storyteller is just a spitfire of a woman named Pam. Pam was a home healthcare aide, but she has many medical issues. She had childhood scoliosis that wasn't properly treated, which means she's had to have a hip replacement. She has some heart issues. She has COPD. So she has a lot of health issues that are manageable, though, with healthcare. But because she is a part-time home health aide, she doesn't get Medicaid, and she doesn't qualify to buy insurance from the ACA. And this is impacting her life every day because she can't make a full income. It's hard. I feel for her. I can't imagine like having to navigate many health issues without having access to health insurance.
And sadly, that's not an uncommon situation. We have talked to many people in the coverage gap over the course of the last, you know, 5 or 6 years, where they are older people. They're not old enough to be able to qualify for Medicare, but certainly they're starting to experience some of those things that happen as you get older. More illness, more chronic disease, and it's really a scary place to be if you don't have either some way to get coverage or some way to manage those conditions.
And Pam talked about her, how she is working on getting that disability determination from the Social Security Administration, and she kind of talked about all of the difficulties that she's seen, and like, this is a long process. This is not an easy thing to get. You hear people that say, well, if you have a chronic condition or a chronic disability, you should just get that determination and then you can qualify for Medicaid. She's done everything that she should from the beginning, and it's still a long, complicated process. So meanwhile, she just has to live without health insurance, and it's devastating because she cares for people for a living. She takes care of people.
That's the irony I find in Pam's story, is that she is caring for people who are on Medicaid but she cannot access that same level of care for herself. To me, that is a power imbalance. And she loves her work. She loves what she does, but yet she doesn't have the same access to healthcare that the people she cares for have. And that makes her life so much harder than it needs to be.
Lucy, I wanted to add something a little bit on Kelsey, just piggybacking off of what Chandra already said. I drove her to the event and back. And so we kind of got to have a few hours to get to know each other and stuff. And she talked to me about, you know, a little bit of her story. And she was telling me like all these things that she hoped to have. She'd hoped to, you know, get to move into the Kansas City area and have her own apartment and really kind of live on her own and stand on her own 2 feet. But not having regular access to care was preventing her and is preventing her from doing that, from being her own independent person. And it just kind of struck me again, as it struck me before, this is why we push for this policy, because this policy could help make those dreams that Kelsey has a reality. And I think that's so important to kind of remember with the Storyteller Corps. It's like at the heart of this is about helping other people. This is about helping our Kansans. And I think that was just so important.
I think we find this so often, not just in talking to regular people in Kansas, but also in talking to policymakers, that there is a belief that if somebody is in need and they don't have the resources to get care, that they will have coverage and they'll be able to get that through Medicaid or through some charity program. And that's just not true in Kansas for adults. So I think it's a reminder that we need to do better with our Medicaid program, and we have the opportunity to do that. It is not a guarantee that just because people are in need, they're going to get access to the care that they need. That just does not happen in our state.
I want to shift here kind of to talk about why stories are important to our work, so that people listening can really think about if they have a story of some sort that they would be willing to share, that they would understand the impact and the importance of that for advocacy work. So let's talk about 4 points as to why stories are important to our work. The first one is that they are easier to communicate. And by that, I mean, if you want to make a difference talking to maybe a policymaker or your sphere of influence, just your friends and family, a story doesn't require you to remember facts or figures. You're just relating your personal experiences. And so if you take a minute and think about your story and how it can make an impact, then it's relatively easy to tell that story. Now, we do get into the whole personal stories can be very emotional. And so sometimes they can feel difficult to communicate. But as we learned, the emotion part of it, even if it leads your voice to be shaky or to tears or to outrage or whatever the emotion is, makes it that much better. Number two, they are more engaging than statistics. Statistics and data are very important, especially when talking about policy issues. We need to know the facts, but it's also very easy to lose an audience when we're talking about stats and data. Not everybody is a data nerd. I know there are some out there, and we need them, but it's much easier for the general public and people to relate to somebody telling a story, because when you hear a story, I mean, like, our society is built on stories, right? We watch movies, we join social media sites or other communities. I'm thinking of Reddit, of TikTok. Like, think of all of the things that engage your attention online, and it's usually story-based. It's much easier to capture somebody's attention when they're hearing your story on, especially on these bigger policy issues. Similarly, the third point I came up with, they can illustrate complex topics in a relatable way. So of the people on this podcast, raise your hand if you've tried to explain the Medicaid coverage gap and been like,
oh. Oh, yeah.
Been there.
I have a friend who's a professor. She is brilliant. Mm-hmm. And when my mother was sick, she was like, why don't you have Medicaid? And I was like, well, Kansas hasn't expanded. But she worked at a university, so she had insurance, and she just assumed that that was how it worked. If you can have that kind of intelligence, right, and be really like kind of a news junkie and not understand how Medicaid expansion works, then there are lots of people then who don't understand how this works, how that gap works. I think there's a lot of shame too when people are in the gap and are suffering from severe medical issues or even just small medical issues. We have this idea in the US, right, of pull up by your bootstraps, you can solve your own problems. And I'm not against those ideas, but the thing is sometimes there are no bootstraps to pull yourself up from.
Yeah, you can talk in theory about why something happens, but if you have a storyteller in front of you who says, maybe I was laid off of a job and lost my health insurance, or I got this diagnosis when I went to the doctor out of nowhere that completely rocked my world, and then I couldn't work as much, and so I lost my health insurance. Like, when you have people telling these stories, it's so much easier to see how somebody could end up in the coverage gap than if we just say, well, if you're between 38% and 100% of the family, like, that doesn't mean anything to a lot of people. Somebody may not understand all of the nuances and intricacies of the coverage gap, but they understand that story, and they understand why many times through no fault of their own, people can end up there. And that can really help them feel motivated and empowered to be an advocate and do something about it. And finally, personal stories are impactful and persuasive. So what we find in April, maybe you, since you talk a lot to policymakers and are more likely than me to come face to face with people who are not in favor of expanding Medicaid, they're so much less likely to offer counterpoints or other, you know, try to dispute data or whatnot when they hear a story. Is that your experience?
Absolutely. Yes. And I think it's also true that they hear a story, they hear a problem, and they want to solve that problem. And so sometimes I'll hear from policymakers who see stories that we put out and are like, oh my gosh, we need to help them. Let's do all of these things that are so much more complex, usually cost more money, and they want to be able to help the individual when we have this solution that is already there. It's relatively inexpensive because the federal government pays 90% of the cost, and it's something that 40 states have already done. So this is a problem that we really already have a solution for. But I do think it kind of touches that instinct that we all have to try and help our fellow person, our neighbor, our friend, our family member. It really is important. And sometimes we get a little bit jaded when we've been working with policymakers who are really dug into opposing expansion, like, oh my goodness, a story is not going to change their mind. But what often happens is that that story touches their constituents, and their constituents reach out, and sometimes that can change an elected official's mind. So I think that there's a value in sharing those lived experiences from a lot of different levels. And the, you know, one of the most basic is just helping the Kansas public understand this situation and the need better.
Before we close up, should we talk about how we use stories? So if somebody's thinking about being a storyteller, what can they expect? What do we do with stories? What happens?
So if you contact the Alliance and you have a story to share, you can either contact me directly, you may contact us on our website. When I have your information, I will reach out, I will send you an email, and I will ask you how is the best way to share your story. Are you more comfortable on the phone? Are you more comfortable on Zoom? I haven't met any in-person storytellers, but if they're in my area or 20 to 30 minute drive, I would be happy to meet you in person. It is whatever makes you feel comfortable. And then we are going to have a conversation. I'm going to ask you questions so that you can tell me what it is you're going through. And in my world, there are no stories too small. I think sometimes we think, oh, I broke my arm and I had to go to the emergency room and I got a cast, but I still have like a $4,000 bill. That story to me is just as relevant as Pam's story, where she struggles with lots of different health issues, because all those stories matter. They all can make change. And then after we've had a conversation, I'm going to write your story. The one thing I like to tell people is this is your space. You can tell me as much or as little as you want. If you want to give me just the facts, which I have done interviews where they're like, this happened, this happened, this happened, it was awful. Perfect. That's fine too. Or if you want to really dig into these things, I am here to listen to those and help you find a voice so that you can take some of your power back and advocate for yourself and for your community. We do get calls from media outlets asking to speak to someone in the healthcare coverage gap. So we may call you and ask you if you would be willing to do those things. You can always say no. We hope you'll say yes. And if you say yes, we are also here to help you through that, to talk to you before, to help you not feel nervous, whatever you need. We are there for that. And that's the other reason why we do our once a year training with our storytellers, is to prepare them for that possibility of asking them to be of service to this cause that we're working on.
And you might end up speaking at a rally in front of hundreds of people with the governor.
With the governor. Yes. So that was the first thing the Alliance asked me to do. And I came from the place that, of course, I was going to do that, not just because I was going to be speaking with the governor at this rally, but also because I realized that was a space for me to allow more people to hear my mother's story. And I have told people this before, like my mother was a really private person. She would not have done this. She would have been 100% on the Alliance's side, but she was just very private and she wouldn't have done this. But I feel now that she's gone, she would want me to share her story. I also don't like speaking in front of big crowds. I have really bad stage fright, but I overcame those for this, because that's how important this work is to me. And I am happy to help anyone. Like, I have lots of techniques. If I ask you to do something crazy, like speak with the governor, I have lots of tools to help you get through that, because I too am someone who suffers from a lot of stage fright.
Well, your mom's story has made quite a difference, I think. A lot of people have heard it, and I think it's impacted a lot of people. So thanks to her.
That is what would be important to her, is that that story is making a difference. I'm not just like going around telling everyone her business. Like, that story actually is important and could have an impact. And I think that legacy for her is something that she would also want. If that story moves the needle even just a little closer to change, because she was an expansion supporter. She believed in Medicaid expansion. And I think she would be happy to know that, like, now we're using that story and I'm using that story to try to make sure that no one else ever has to go through what she went through.
I'm so glad that we get to know about your mom, because I'm not sure that we would otherwise. But Joanne?
Yeah. Joanne, yes. Yes, Joanne.
I feel like I know Joanne, even though I didn't. So we appreciate that. Okay. Well, we have events continuing this fall. Bingo. We've talked about it before. So if you're a regular listener, you know about bingo. Come see us if we are in your community. You can always see our latest schedule of events on our website at expandcancare.com under the events tab. We also We'll have our Healthy Kansas advocacy community meetings that are the second and fourth Wednesdays of each month. If you are, maybe you just stumbled across us, or maybe you know about the Alliance, maybe you're just interested in the topic, we hope you will consider joining us. We do those on Zoom in the evening, and everybody is welcome.
Thank you so much for joining us for our third episode of season two. We hope to be back in the next couple of weeks with a new topic. Until then, you can find us everywhere on social media at Expand Can Care, and also our website at expandcancare.com.
We'll see you next time. The theme song plays in my head. I know it doesn't for anybody else. 34th is a podcast from the Alliance for a Healthy Kansas. We hope you'll take a moment to subscribe and share our podcast with others. Episodes written and produced by Marissa Alcantar and Lacey Kennett. Episodes available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Join the movement and get involved. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. For more information on the Alliance for a Healthy Kansas, visit us at expandcancare.com.